money, your taxes, your truck, and your road to success in the trucking industry. This is Trucking Business and Beyond, the show that puts the money where it belongs, back in your pocket.
Good morning, you beautiful bunch of Fockers, and welcome to my world. I'm your host, Kevin Rutherford. It is Wednesday, January 24th. We are here live. It is time for Destination Health. It's all health all day today. If you've got a question about anything related to health, food, fitness, diet, disease, drugs, training, lifestyle, you name it, we'll talk about it. All you have to do is pick up the phone and join me. Those phone lines are open right now, 319-527-6791, or hit the call now button on your app and jump in here and let's talk. I've been thinking about some things. One of the things I always have to balance is how much time I spend on each area that we work in. So the two big areas, trucking and health. How much time am I spending on health? How much time am I spending on trucking? And it goes back and forth. Right now I'm spending the majority of my time when I'm not on the air working on trucking issues, all of our trucking programs, the events we've got coming up. And I haven't been spending a lot of time health reading. But I'm to the point where I'm not sure I'm going to do a whole lot more research on health. I mean, I have some ideas and some projects I still want to go back and work on, but I've come to the conclusion that health is really, really simple if we approach it the right way, and it's not simple at all if we approach it the wrong way. In fact, it is incredibly complicated. Sorry about that. We had a little minor emergency here. Nothing major. So if we approach health the way we approach it now in this country, and we're exporting it all over the world, health is so complicated, we'll never figure it out. I mean, our system right now of healthcare is so horribly broken that it just doesn't work at all. When you look at the health statistics of this country, it is, there's just not even a word I can use to describe how bad our healthcare system is and how bad the health of most Americans is. And we're never going to figure that out. There's nothing to figure out. It's not a system designed to make anybody healthy. It's a system designed to keep people in the system paying money. That's all it is. That is the entire design. The more I look at it, you just can't deny it. The pharmaceutical companies are completely out of control. Drug after drug after drug. I'm going to come back to that. But, you know, it's interesting that I have two areas of life, and I spent a lot of time and a lot of money to become educated in these areas. The first one was money. You know, I remember, it was Anthony Robbins. I was at an Anthony Robbins seminar, and he made the statement that money is such a big, important part of our life that you should never trust that to somebody else, that you should become educated enough about money that you manage your own. And at the time, that made a lot of sense to me. Sometimes I go a little overboard. I think he probably meant, you know, reading some books. And I decided I wanted to know about money and investing and finance. And I went back to school to become a certified financial planner, the highest designation in that industry. And it, you know, as I was going through the program, there were stockbrokers and, you know, investment managers going through the program that had been working in the industry for 10 or 15 years before they decided to go to that level. Well, I thought, why not just jump into the deep end of the pool? I had never worked in that industry, and that was the first designation I went after. It took me almost 3 years of classes. The test was insane, 2 days long, 15 hours, if I remember right, to take the exam. Only 40-some percent of the people that took it that year passed. I worked really, really hard to make sure I passed it the first time. I could not even imagine having to go back and do it again. And then I've talked about this before. I read one book, and it was a book that Anthony Robbins wrote, and learned far more practical advice about managing money than I learned in that entire time. That program was so overly complicated because we have so overly complicated our financial system. And again, our system is not designed to make money for the investor. It's designed to make money for all the fund managers, investment advisors, all the people who work in that industry. The system's been designed so they make money. Even the book. I've recommended, you know, both of Anthony Robbins' financial books. I still do for people who really want to learn at a pretty deep level. Those are not easy books. But, you know, there's a plan that if everybody just followed this one financial plan in our country, it's incredible how wealthy people could become and how financially secure. And it's not complicated at all. I can explain it in less than 10 minutes. And anybody with a reasonable IQ above 13 years old should be able to understand this. And people go, oh, well, yeah, but, you know, I do that, but then I do this, and look at how much money. We'll forget that for a second, because 90% of the people in this country retire, and they are not financially independent. They have to continue working. That's why we see senior citizens in minimum wage jobs all the time. That is criminal in a country where we make so much money, that 90% of the people can't retire independently. They either are dependent on the government, their family, a second job that they really don't want. Now, I've talked about retirement. I don't think anybody should retire. But I got to tell you, my idea of not retiring is not being a greeter at Walmart. It's being able to go out and do whatever the hell I want to do to help other people and, you know, call it retirement because I'm not going to work full time. The plan is so easy, honestly. You could sum it up in three steps. Spend less than you earn. We got to start there. Nobody ever talks about that. If you don't spend less than you earn, you're never going to have anything to invest. So we have to have some discipline. We have to realize we can't have everything all at once in our 20s or 30s. We have to start spending less than we earn. And then here's the really simple answer. Spend less than you earn. Take the money and invest it in the S&P 500 and go about life. That would make 90% of the population 1,000 times more successful at financial planning than they currently are. Yet the criticism would be, oh, but if I also invest into Bitcoin, or if I also have some real estate in my portfolio, or if I have precious metals, look at what I could have done. Except our examples are always looking backwards, because that's all you can do. You can't look forward. You look backwards and you go, if I would have done this, but you didn't. You didn't think about that back then. You only think about it now when you see what the results would be. But they want to complicate everything. It's that simple. Here's how you retire wealthy and financially independent. The minute you start working, we should be telling teenagers this, spend less than you earn, invest the rest in the S&P 500. We're done. We don't need a financial planning industry at all. That's why I don't work in that industry. It's a scam, in my opinion. If I wanted to make money in that industry, I was taking it away from other people and not really providing them much value. That's why I don't work in that industry. I'm starting to feel that way about health. This could be so simple if we educated people and we started early. There is nothing complicated about health. It only becomes complicated when we get sick. We only get sick when we do things that we didn't do as we evolved. If we go back to living as close as possible, that kind of lifestyle where we mostly eat meat, because that really is the human diet, meat, fish, and eggs, throw in some veggies now and then if you want, a little bit of fruit if you can handle it, get plenty of sunshine, walk around barefoot, be more active. If we did all those things, 90% of the healthcare system would disappear. We wouldn't have three pharmacies on every street corner. We wouldn't have doctors and clinics and hospitals and 37 drug commercials every hour. New drugs being released onto the market over and over and over. All that would disappear. It's so simple. It's shocking to me how much time I have spent learning that, because I had to learn both of those systems to understand how screwed up they really are. And we certainly make some money off health, but most of it these days is just selling good products through our store, good food, good supplements that, you know, we've worked hard to go find, and helping people clean up the mess we've made of our health over all these years. But I'm even trying to simplify that. You know, if we have to go deeper, we're sending people to other functional medicine doctors that we partner with. We keep our health really, really simple these days, and we're going to continue to do that. Unfortunately, on the health side, which is really what I want to talk about today, the financial planning part was just an example of how those two areas of our life, which are so important, I've spent thousands of hours learning those systems, and in a sense, all of that time should have been wasted. If we just taught people how simple this is and people had some discipline in these two areas, it would radically change people's lives. It would radically change our country. Now, I never see this happening on a big scale. I have no illusions that this stuff I talk about is ever going to become much more than a very, very small part of the population doing it. It will grow some, but it's not growing that much. Sometimes if you work in this or you follow a lot of practitioners, it starts to look really promising. Boy, we're reaching a lot of people. A lot of people are getting it. Every person that gets it is wonderful. But we're not making much of a dent, and most people's health and our overall system is going the other way. Like I said, the pharmaceutical companies are completely out of control. When you look at what COVID has done to our health statistics, it's shocking and hard to even interpret. But I will promise you that all over the world, and you can look at the patterns, where the vaccination was heavily used, the health statistics continue to get worse, and they're really bad, and they're not really coming out much. The problems are starting to be known a little bit, but we have lots and lots of cases of heart issues, myocarditis, pericarditis, blood clots, heart attacks. We have a lot of cardiovascular issues, and those numbers jumped way up, and they correlate with the more times somebody was jabbed, the more likely they are to have heart conditions. We have autoimmune diseases spiking off the charts. And again, it correlates to vaccination rates. We know that this vaccine negatively impacts our immune system. And we're seeing those results. The problem is we're not seeing them all unless you really, really dig. And for the most part, it's being covered up. Then we have turbo cancers. Again, through the roof. Younger and younger people getting cancer, people being diagnosed with stage 4 out of nowhere. For the most part, the health of this country and many parts of the world has gotten significantly worse in the last several years. Here's another crazy trend I'm seeing with pharmaceutical companies. I've talked about this before, but it's becoming much more common. I actually look for pharmaceutical commercials now because I can see these trends coming. I just watched one last night. And as soon as the commercial came on, I thought, wait a minute. That's not the normal commercial for that drug. It's not even the normal condition for that drug. A drug that was designed and approved for psoriasis and psoriatic arthritis, an autoimmune condition. So the drug is that class we call biologics. And it's been heavily advertised for that purpose, for psoriatic conditions. Well, all of a sudden I see a commercial for that same drug last night for Crohn's disease. Both are autoimmune conditions. They're wildly different. One is your skin and joints. The other one, digestive system. Well, this drug could potentially do something for both conditions because the way they fix these conditions is they don't fix these conditions. Biologics just turn your immune system down for different autoimmune conditions. But the rules are, if you haven't been through the entire FDA approval process for that drug with this specific disease, then you can't advertise it. But they do. I just watched one. I see this all the time. Well, what do you mean, Kevin? They can't do it. They do it all the time. Sure they do. And the government fines them and they pay the fine and everybody moves on. What a stupid system. It really is. But so now here's what's getting worse. Many of the drugs that I've seen advertised probably for decades now, certainly for years, all of a sudden there's a whole new bunch of commercials saying, well, if your antidepressant isn't working, wait a minute. What do you mean my antidepressant isn't working? You promised me in all those commercials it was going to work. You told me if I had this condition and I took this drug, I would get better. My life would be wonderful. Go back to the commercials. That's what you told me. Now you're saying, well, if it doesn't work, well, what do you mean if it doesn't work? And by the way, it doesn't. So they're correct. Their answer is they have another drug now. Well, let's just add this drug and you'll get those results that we promised you last time. And if we're talking about antidepressants and other mental health drugs, the second drug in the combination they give you is highly likely to cause a condition called tardive dyskinesia, and they're going to have to give you a third drug that was developed simply to overcome the side effects of the other two combined. How do we not see how out of control this is? It is just absolutely, and it is not just those mental health drugs now. I'm seeing this, well, we see it in diabetes all the time. Oh, well, we gave you this drug and your blood sugar keeps going up. We'll give you another one. Oh, but look, now we have this weekly injection you can take. Oh, and guess what? This one will actually help you lose some weight too. Now, boy, the big push in the pharmaceutical industry right now, And this may be their biggest ever. And if they're not already giant, rich, and powerful, they're soon to be. These weight loss drugs, what a fiasco this is becoming. And the pharmaceutical companies are just making money. They're printing it with these drugs. And people are buying into it. They are willing to spend $800 to $1,000 a month, have horrible side effects, some of which will be permanent, simply to lose 15% of their body weight. And if they stop taking the drug, they gain it all back and probably some more. What are these people thinking? Are they really thinking that I'm 35 years old and I'm going to have to take this drug for 40 years? What the hell are they thinking when they take these drugs? Do they not read about what's really happening? Do they not read if you quit, things get worse? Do they not read that this could cause stomach paralysis and all kinds of horrendous side effects? Obviously not, because the pharmaceutical companies are partying over the idea that they have a whole new class of drugs to go create. They're now making them more powerful, so you can lose more than 15% of your weight with their next class of drugs. But every time that drug becomes more powerful, the side effects have to become more powerful with it. It is honestly shocking to me how bad this has become and how simple the fix could be, but we will never, ever implement the fix as a country. Not even, it's going to be a very, very small group in the big scheme of things, of people who figure out that this is really simple if you're willing to make some big decisions about food and then lifestyle and some other things. But all right, I had some other thoughts. Aaron just sent me a message I wasn't sure of, or wasn't aware of. I've talked in the past about buying antibiotics for emergency purposes only. I mean, we're not big on antibiotics, but they can be life-saving in the right, used in the right way. When you truly have a massive infection, antibiotics can be lifesavers. Using them for every little sniffle and cases of SIBO and all the other and feeding them to all the animals and all that stuff is horrendous. We talked about this as kind of a being prepared thing, major kind of events that could shut down economies or the grid, or and having antibiotics on hand is a good idea. I do it. I absolutely would not take an antibiotic unless I realized my life was in danger. But if that happens, I want to be able to get them. One of the things I've talked about is you could buy fish antibiotic. They were exactly the same. Every molecule exactly the same, and you could buy them on Amazon. Aaron just sent me a message saying the FDA shut that down. I've seen some doctors now that put together packets that you can probably get them prescribed online now. It's going to cost you a lot more than buying the fish antibiotics, but just another reason to just absolutely hate the FDA and what they've done to our food and our drug supply and all the other crap they pull. All right, let me look at my notes here. I think I've got everything covered. Let's get to some phone calls. Let's go to Pennsylvania to get started. Jake, welcome.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What's on your mind today?
Alrighty. So I've been following you for at least the past 8 years. I lost you for a little bit there whenever you were having your problems with Sirius and everything, and I eventually found you again. Went and I was doing keto really good, for a year and a half, and then I sort of fell off the wagon, and I'm getting back onto it now.
okay.
for, you know, 2 years of not doing it. So I'm trying to just sort of update my knowledge as to, you know, how to get started. You know, like I'm taking steps. I'm already, you know, eliminating grains. I, you know, got rid of the you know, obvious ones first week. Second week started looking a little closer at, you know, ingredients.
Okay, good.
And, you know, so I'm working on getting rid of all the grains. Coming a lot harder because they're figuring out new ways to hide them. But, you know, it's a work in progress. My question is mainly, you know, like whenever it comes to the ketone testing and the NutriQ's and all of the other stuff that I know that I should be doing, when should I worry about starting to do all that?
Well, let me address that before you go on. So I would disagree with you. There's no reason you need to be doing any of that stuff. You don't need to test for ketones. You don't need to do a NutriQ. If we start to see issues or problems or new symptoms come up as you start to change your diet, we could either wait them out, and a lot of times they correct themselves, or we could go in and do a NutriQ and, you know, check for those kind of things. But I don't recommend it up front. Change the way you eat. Continue to change the way you eat. See how you feel. If you feel better, great. If some new symptoms comes up, call. We'll talk about it. We can almost always solve that, you know, on a simple phone call. And eventually, when you get your diet really where you want it, we could start working on some lifestyle changes. And I spent a lot of time and money learning all of this stuff, and kind of like financial planning. Now I'm at the point going, wait a minute, I don't really need all that knowledge. This is pretty easy if you just do some basic stuff. And we're going to solve 90% of your problems just with the dietary changes alone. So no, I wouldn't recommend buying ketone testers, and not at this point. Let's just change the way you eat and go from there. And I can also say this, if we want to cut to the chase, you say, what are the next steps? Well, I could give you a bunch of steps. You should start eliminating seed oils now. While you're getting rid of the grains, get rid of the seed oils. They are just as bad or worse. So you got to go back to reading all those labels again. And I can promise you, if it had a grain, it has a seed oil. That will be true almost 100% of the time. Then we could talk about, okay, now you got to go back to that label again and start lowering sugar. Now we got to go look at, are there foods in our diet where we're getting too many oxalates or phytates or these other issues? Or we could skip all that, and now I've got this about as simple as the financial planning thing. Eat mostly meat. Be a little more active, get out in the sun, get plenty of salt and water, and that's kind of the whole plan. I mean, if you were able to do that, you will solve 95% of all your health issues, and the other 5% would probably eventually work themselves out anyway.
All right. So the reason why I was thinking the NutriQ and all that stuff is because I know that, you know, a lot of times people will have problems with, you know, the fat digestion whenever they, you know, start or restart the diet and everything like that.
So that's kind of where I say, if you develop new symptoms and they're not changing, it's really becoming a problem, then go ahead and fill out the NutriQ. Join the coaching program. We'll solve those things. We've done it thousands of times. But they're also, one of the things we have to remember, people are only going to call the show when they have a problem. We hear about the problems more than we hear about the successes. There are a lot of people that have taken my advice that have never, ever called the show once. They've drastically changed their health over time by listening and applying this stuff and didn't run into problems that they needed to call about.
That's true. The first time that I did it, I went and I, you know, called in a couple of times because I was having that fat digestion problem. And then again, I, you know, fell off the wagon, got married and all that crap. And then after worst, I went back on keto and I didn't have the same issues. And I'm restarting it again for the third time. And I'm like, well, if those issues come back, you know, kind of know what to do, but
and you can always call. And if you want that more personal, in-depth, you know, way of troubleshooting a problem until we fix it, you could join the coaching program. We do it every week. Health-wise, we do every other week. But again, I think we solve enough problems here on the air that my advice to people is just jump in and try it. And if you encounter a problem you need help with, we're here. But a lot of people just never really need much more help. If you get your diet right, get your lifestyle mostly right, it's fairly simple and effective.
I know that you're not really big on surgeries and stuff like that. How do you feel about, like, vasectomies and stuff?
I'm not sure what happened to your audio. It sounds like you're clear across the room all of a sudden.
I have no idea.
Okay, ask that question again. I didn't hear it the first time.
I know that you're not real big on the surgeries and stuff like that. How do you feel about, like, vasectomies and, you know, stuff like that?
I'm not sure what happened to the audio here. About what? I didn't catch the last word.
Vasectomies.
Hopefully this isn't on my end. Jake?
Yeah.
Are you there? I kind of hear you, but you're still breaking up a little bit. Try your question one more time.
All right. How do you feel about, like, vasectomies and stuff like that?
Well, let's be clear. Vasectomies and stuff like that, I would have to know what stuff like that is specifically before I answer it. I'll answer specifically for vasectomies. I have one. I don't think they're a huge issue. I would rather not have to mess with our body at all, but when it comes to birth control, there aren't a lot of good, healthy options other than abstinence and you know, some of the other ways that can be inconvenient or whatever. Some are absolutely unhealthy. Women should not be on any kind of birth control pills. They are horribly unhealthy. But I also realize that in today's world, it's not all that practical to have seven kids the way my parents did. It's just not. So this is an area where even though I had my vasectomy before I knew any of this stuff about health, if I were in the same position today, I would do it again. I think that's a reasonable trade-off. It's a pretty simple, straightforward procedure. I don't know of any big health consequences that have ever been shown after having it. So that one specifically, a vasectomy for a male, yes, not that big of a deal. Probably one of the best forms of birth control for both partners when it comes to health.
I was going to say, I know that it's better than, you know, like a female getting her tubes tied because that's a more invasive surgery and stuff like that. So that's kind of the route that we were looking at going. But,
yeah, birth control pills are horrible.
Health concerns that,
they are the least problematic of all the options. Birth control pills for women are horrible. Like you said, having their tubes tied, much more invasive than a vasectomy. Any of the implantable devices like the IUDs and those kind of things, they have some real health problems with those. I'm just not a big fan of those. So ultimately, after looking at all the possibilities, a vasectomy for the male is probably the least problematic.
I'm pretty sure that's all my questions.
All right. Thanks for the call. Let me get on to the next call. I'm having a tiny audio issue here on my end. I'm trying to solve on the fly. We're still testing some new equipment. I'm actually pretty excited about where we are in technology right now. I'm going on almost 2 weeks with minimal equipment on my end, which is what we've really been hoping for. I can now do the show with just my laptop, no audio boards, no mixers, but I'm still working out a little bit of the technology on this. I got a little issue with feedback depending on where I stand today. All right, let's go to Massachusetts. Todd, welcome to the program.
Hey, Kevin. How's it going today?
Good. What can I help you with?
I'll have a stupid question. So I wanted to comment on your open, which to me, for me personally, was up there with the Staten show, with how your keynote came across when you read it online. I was listening and I was like, oh, Kevin's talking about health today. I'm sorry, he's talking about money and finance. And I thought he just lost his track and he's just talking about finance. And I'm like, oh, I enjoy that too. So I'll keep listening. And then you drew the comparison to health and how they're both equally corrupt. And it just about made me weep. Really, I'm not kidding. It's just the world is just full of evil, and it's like you say, they should teach us from the time where maybe even before we're teenagers, this is what you got to do to retire with dignity, and it's not taught, and the food situation is not taught, and it's mostly poison, and it's just horrible. And anyway, when you made the connection, it was it was just heavy. And I just wanted to comment on that. Well, I think you're having some issues with the audio. Can you hear me?
I am having some issues. Trying to, anytime I bring the caller volume up, I'm getting all kinds of feedback. And I'm trying to figure out why, because nothing really changed from the last 5 or 6 times I've done this. I haven't made any changes. We're just trying to tweak some things. But I'm trying to figure out why the caller volume has gone down so much. It's not really making any sense. Go ahead, try that again.
Yeah, no, I was just joking. It was some sunspot activity, this climate change and trying to bite your ass
Todd,
or something.
Todd, let me try something for a second. I'm not going to cut you loose. I'm going to put you back on hold. I need to find out if that volume issue is just your line, because nothing I'm doing on my end is really helping it. And I'm trying to look to see what else I could do. Let me try another caller just to make sure that isn't the issue. Let's go to Arkansas. Jesse, are you with me?
Hey, yes, sir. Can you hear me?
I can, but just barely. So I'm assuming your audio is not going to be loud enough. Boy, that's just odd. I've got everything I can turn up as high as I can turn it up. And for some reason, the caller audio is just really quiet. And as soon as I try to turn anything else up, I get feedback.
Testing.
Yeah, I can hear you, but I can see your volumes on the broadcast are just way too low. And I don't understand why. Let me check one more thing.
You gotta love technology.
Yeah, I was really hoping for a good health show today, too. All right, that's set right. Yeah, this is kind of a mystery.
It'll eventually get dialed in.
Yeah, I wish I was confident of that, because I'm looking around and I don't even have a clue what I could possibly change right now to make this right. This is one issue we've never just had. We're just the caller audio is too low.
Extra volume, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, I've tried to go through the checklist in my mind of everywhere that I can control the volume, and I've tried everywhere I can, and it's just not... I almost wonder if, because it's your audio is coming through the phone system, and that may be where the problem is originating. So I'm almost thinking...
When the other caller was on our end, I can hear them pretty good.
Yeah, I'm getting lots of messages from people, and I can see the audio. If it was good before, and I think it was, something changed. The caller audio has just completely dropped out on me. The only thing I may be able to do at this point is try restarting a show. And I'm not sure if I can do that on the system. Man, this is frustrating. Let me try ending and restarting the show. And I'm not sure that I can. If we don't come back live today, it will be because I'm just not able to start another show on the system today. All right, I'm going to try. It's the only thing I've got. So listen for me to come back live. If you're on hold with me right now, you can redial right away, and we'll get you right back in here. But this seems to be the...